Next on Sound Doctrine, we'll have a look at a 65-word prayer given to us by Jesus that will serve to help us not only talk to God, but also to hear from God.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
It's good to be with you today, and welcome to Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson is about to open Matthew chapter 6 and return to a series on the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps you've read a few books, listened to some podcasts, or even attended a seminar or two on prayer. That can all be helpful. But how would you like to hear what Jesus has to say on the subject? You'll have that opportunity today. You might look at this as a model for prayer. How we're to be praying. So let's dive right in.
Talking about prayer, we're going to be looking at the greatest prayer this morning. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting with verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9. As you're turning there are many people that talk about God. There's a lot of talk about God. And those that talk about God sometimes mention prayer. They say, oh, I not only believe in God, but I pray. But what is prayer? And that's what we're going to seek to answer this morning. It's to talk with God, that's for sure. But it's also to have God speak to us as we speak to Him, which is incredible when you really think about it. That we can speak to God is one thing, but that God would speak to us, wow, that is awesome, isn't it? That God wants to speak to me and I can hear His voice. Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, warns us that there are two ways to pray. There's the right way and there's the wrong way to pray. Remember we looked at it? Don't do it to be seen of men, Jesus said. Don't be as a hypocrite, standing up with these vain repetitions over and over again, thinking that with your much words and your length of prayer, that's the important thing. But Jesus says, you need to go into your private place, into the place that is secret, and there you need to pray. And we talked about also the blessing of short, precise prayers last week. That's what he looks for. Now, prayer is between you and God. And it's so important that Jesus now gives us detailed instructions about how to pray that I believe are one of the most potent, powerful, meaningful instructions that we can ever get about prayer. So a very important time this morning. Starting with verse 9 of Matthew 6. Jesus says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Or pray this way is what Jesus is saying. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's called the Lord's Prayer. In reality, though, and actually, it is the disciples' prayer, isn't it? Because this is how we're to be praying. It's sort of a model prayer, if you will. A prayer that is defined. And he just lays an outline before us. And I want you to follow this outline and follow me with every section of it. Because there's a priority that it's also in that is very important for us to see. I mean, you know, a lot of times we pray one way and the Lord's saying, no, this is how you're to pray. You know, well, no wonder I'm having a hard time, you know? And that's true. He wants it to be very simple for us and very direct. Now, remember over in Luke 11, the brothers, a few years onward, they came to Jesus and they came to him and they said, "Will you teach us to pray? Can you do that for us?" And it's interesting that they asked for a teaching on prayer. Not that they would become great preachers or that they would become prophetic in their ministries or a great witness, or they didn't pray for ministering to their families. They said, "We want to learn how to pray." Number one. Why? Because I believe in Mark's gospel, it says in chapter 1, verse 35, that early in the morning, Jesus rose up a great while before it was day. It was still dark out. And he went out and he departed into the solitary place, and there he prayed. They would watch Jesus in his prayer life. They watched him go off in the middle of the night. You know how somebody will wake up and wake you up and say, "Well, it's dark. What are you doing?" You know? And he just kind of closes the door and leaves, you know, and goes out to pray. And they always would see him going to pray. They watched him very carefully. This is our most powerful lifeline, prayer. And they were seeing that it was the most important thing in his life. Why? Because prayer moves the hand of God. So no wonder the enemy tries to keep us confused with it and away from it and not doing it. One of the most important things that we can do, he tries to keep us away from that, because God moves in a powerful way when God's people pray. Talking about moving the hand of God, if you hold your hand up, you see you have a thumb, right? And it tells us how to pray, really, the right way to pray. The thumb is closest to you, so you pray first of all for those closest to you, your family, your friends, brothers and sisters. And then you've got that finger that points, right? And so that means that we're to pray for those who instruct us and who teach us. And then you have the middle finger, which is the tallest finger. We're to pray for those that are in high places in government, and those that are overseeing things. And then you have your weakest finger, which is the next finger. And even those that play piano will tell you that this is the weakest finger of the hand. And so we're reminded to pray for the weak and the poor and those that are hurting. And then, you have your little finger. And that's the last one. And that's the last we're to pray. And that's for ourselves. Then you pray for yourself. I think that's interesting. But they watched his prayer life. And before and after every major crisis in his life, they watched how the Lord would pray. Always before and then after. I think it's our choice. I mean, when you really look at it, and Paul talking to young Timothy said, we weren't given a spirit of fear, but we were given power and love and discipline. That's the spirit we've been given. So we can discipline ourselves. We can either be carnal Christians and just barely make it in this life, you know, and struggle. Or we can be spiritual men and women of God who pray. It's a choice, isn't it? You can be led by the flesh and the lust of the flesh, or you can be led by the Spirit into God's throne room and watch God spiritually change lives. David said in Psalm 42, as the deer panteth after the water stream, so my heart panteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God. There is that which is the most important thing within a man, and that is that he hungers for God, to know God. And so when you come to know God, I believe that the highest achievement or activity for the child of God is to pray. This prayer to me is sort of sacramental. Not sacramental, but sacramental. You say, what do you mean? It's like communion or baptism. It's a sacrament. We're entering into holy ground here as you enter in to Jesus' prayer for us and how we're to pray. When you look at this, you realize that this is the truth about our Christianity, our prayer life. The beginning, the end, what it is your Christianity is all about your prayer life. Anyone can give, and we talked about alms and giving of alms. In next week, we're going to talk about fasting. Anybody can, you know, abstain from certain things. I remember when I was into Eastern religion, and I abstained from meat and I got into yoga and I was wanting to control my body, and I got into this thing of disciplining myself to sit in the lotus position and om and chant and vain repetition, you know. And in the morning we just eat oats, and at night we eat rice, cleansing our bodies to be pure and making them pure. See, anybody can sacrifice and fast. Even the heathen do that. But prayer? Prayer is powerful. And in the presence of God, wow, to come into his very presence, to speak to him, that's spiritual growth. And that's what we need. What's your spiritual condition? Every greatly used saint, and if you read books on these saints, and George Mueller's, the Moody's, those in the past and those of today were men of prayer, every single one of them. How we need to see the importance of prayer. You know, we might not be used like these mighty men. We might not preach like these mighty men. But I'll tell you something we can do, and that is we can pray like them. Because guess what? This was their prayer. This is how they prayed. Why? Because this is how Jesus teaches us to pray. And this is how we ought to pray. This is how great men of old prayed and how great men of now pray. We can enter into the same prayer life and watch God work. I remember my Presbyterian mother teaching us, this is the only remembrance I have of any Christianity in our home. When we were kids, she taught us our Father prayer, to say it every night before we go to bed. And she'd come in, and when we were real little, she taught us to pray this prayer. And so we rattled it off, you know, and our Father wanted to have an holiday. Good night. Very meaningless, you know. And it meant nothing until I got saved. And then I went into a church and I heard them sing this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. You know, and just going on. And I just went, wow, that's meaningful. Why? Because I knew him now and I knew what that prayer was about. So I don't think that the Lord wants us to just rattle it off, but he wants us to realize what he is saying here. It's not so much word for word that's important, it's what he is saying within the words that we need to pick up on. So we're going to study six things this morning. We're going to look at God's person in verse 9. We're going to look at his purpose in verse 10. At his provision in verse 11. His pardon in verse 12, and his protection in verse 13. And finally, we're going to look at his preeminence for those of you taking notes. Now, there are 65 words in this prayer. You talk about short and concise, you know? It's great. But yet we know that he prayed for hours. What do you think he prayed about? Well, I think he took this prayer, this very short and concise prayer, and he meditated upon these certain aspects of prayer. You could spend all day on this. It's so deep. It's so awesome. So very short, and it's very complete too. He covers all of our needs and his worthiness. I mean, we'll touch on everything. This great prayer covers every main subject of need anybody can ever have. In fact, over in John 17, which is truly the Lord's Prayer, you can read that later on. This is truly his prayer, John 17. It contains all of these principles that we're going to be reading about here. Because Jesus always prayed this exact way. So it's for all Christians, for all times. And this is the true power prayer in the Bible, especially as we pray it with real heart and meditation on each section. So, and I believe this, that many times we pray, but we don't get satisfaction. Our prayers kind of like go up to the ceiling and they hit and they come down and we go, gosh, I don't think I got anything out of that. I'm still not satisfied. I don't have any peace. And so I think the way we approach prayer is what we need to look at, how we approach it, how we come. Because sometimes we're not coming right. And that's why we end up with kind of uneasiness and no real peace after prayer. So approach. Now, if you're self-centered, that's the wrong approach, okay? So right away, there's a clue. We're not to come, God, I need, you know. Well, he's going to go, no. And it, you know, and it's just not going to make it. The first principle is not to expect anything as we pray. In other words, we're to pause, we're to be still. We're not to be like Job. And if you remember in Job, if you read chapters 1 through 38, he just went on and 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 on. Finally, God says, Job, pipe down. In chapter 38, Job sensed the presence of the Lord and he said, I'm vile. Oh, what a wicked person I am. Okay, I'll shut up in God's presence. And then God began to minister to him because he rambled. God doesn't want us to just ramble. He wants us to know him. And in knowing him, we are going to respond to him with this prayer. It's not the old thing of, you know, in the emergency room, oh God, you know, that's, you know, really a day late and a dollar short. You should have been praying all along, because then you'd know how to pray when you get into those emergency situations. See, we're not children anymore. We're to grow up in the things of God. We're to be mature, and we're to understand that prayer starts in silence, reflecting in humility before an awesome God. And we're to be direct. Notice verse 9. He says, pray this way, our Father. So be direct. Don't pray to anybody else. It's not going to do you any good. Remember what Mary said as they were running to Mary saying, what about this? What about that? Mary says, hey, listen, don't come to me. Whatsoever he says, do it. Pointing to Jesus. Don't come to me, go to Jesus. So if you're going to the Father, you're going to Jesus, aren't you? The reason you don't hear in Jesus' name in this prayer is because we don't need to. We're in Jesus' name as you're praying. It's already automatic. But our Father, God's person, he's our God. And what's your concept of God? How big is your God? Is he like that concept in Acts 4, verse 24, when they came and said, God, you are the creator of the heavens, the earth, the seas, and all that dwells therein. And then they came with their little prayer. I mean, what is your concept? We need to go to him and say, Father in heaven. So go in private, Jesus says. Go to the Father, and then go with simplicity. And so what I see here is kind of an invocation, an adoration, a worship beginning. Our Father. Notice not my Father, our Father. Because he's saying to all Christians for all time, he's our Father. We're to go before his throne. Over in Hebrews 4, in verse 16. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 4:16. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To come into his presence, our Father. And there's a relationship there, isn't there? When you say, our Father, my Father. You got to start prayer. If you don't have a relationship with God, then why are you praying? Well, I heard that if you're in trouble, you got to pray. Well, you're not going to get too far. Is he your Father? A question that by the end, as I end this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to know him as your Father if you don't already. A relationship with the creator of the universe. Fellowship with the living God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Nothing like it. Daniel always came with worship before the Father. Jeremiah did. Jesus did in John 17. Paul did in Philippians 4:6. With prayer and supplication, make your requests made known unto God with thanksgiving, and then the peace of God will rule in your hearts and in your minds through Christ Jesus. And so this coming in Abba, Abba, isn't that the first word that children usually learn is Papa or Daddy? It's a simple word. In Hebrew, it's Abba, just Daddy. It sounds like Baba, you know, easy word, Abba. Just to call upon the Lord. Prayer begins with a relationship, and as we cry out, God hears our prayer. Because we've been adopted into the family of God. We've been brought into that family. And our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. And so we cry out, Father. Which art, notice, in heaven, or in heavens. That's the correct way of saying this. Who art in the heavens. You say, what do you mean? There are three heavens in the Bible. There's the heaven where God is. There's the stellar heaven of the stars and the moons and all of the galaxies. And then there's the atmosphere, what we breathe. Notice what he's saying as we say, Our Father, which are in the heavens, you're everywhere. You're where you are. You're out in the cosmos, but you're here with me. And as I breathe, you're here. His intimacy all throughout all things for all time. When I think of our Father, which art in heaven, it kind of gives me a different aspect or a different look at, because I had an earthly father, and my earthly father was a very grumpy old man. And he just really, in the latter years, even when I was a kid, because you got to realize that my parents had children, and then 12 years later, they decided to have me. So there's a little gap there, wouldn't you say? So they had two generations. So they were getting a little cranky when they had me. And my dad, you know, he would let loose on us, man. I mean, no mercy. He drank a little, and I think a lot of it was the alcohol. And he just would come undone, and he'd abuse us and just beat us. And so when I think of a father, you have your earthly father, and you say, but that's God the Father. Forget it, you know. No, he's our good heavenly Father, which dwells in the heavens, who has given us his Son to show us his love, unlike my earthly father. He's all-powerful. He knows everything. He's Almighty God. Sarah cracked up when Abraham came and said, guess what? God told me you're going to have a baby. And Sarah just laughed. And God said to Abraham, hey, don't you know that I'm God, that I can do anything? And that's interesting, because sometimes we don't realize that with God, nothing is impossible. That he is God. He can do everything. Remember with Peter in prison, and James had just been killed, and they were praying. The church got together, really seeking God. God, deliver Peter. And the angel of the Lord came and delivered Peter out of the jail and brought him to the house that they were praying at. And he's knocking on the door saying, let me in. I want to tell you what happened. And Rhoda got all, you know, excited, went to the door, saw Peter, didn't open the door, freaked out, went back to tell the guys that he's at the door. And she tells them, Peter's at the door. And they're going, what are you, nuts? You're a little crazy. Just calm down, Rhoda. You saw some kind of spirit or something. Don't you know we're trying to pray that Peter will be let out of prison right now? You know, I mean, look at how far their prayer. They just, hey, God did it. Open your eyes. Sometimes we don't even believe when we pray. But God is powerful. With God, nothing is impossible. He can bless, he can curse, he can save, or he can punish. And so he is a God to be reverenced. We stand in awe of the creator of the universe. And yet he's our Father. We have a relationship with him through Christ the Son.
This is Sound Doctrine, and we've been learning how we're to be praying through a study in Matthew chapter 6. Pastor Jeff Johnson will share the rest of his message next time. Get today's study on CD when you call us toll-free at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, 800-353-7553. You can also replay any message that you enjoy at sounddoctrineradio.org. And listen to Pastor Jeff through the Sound Doctrine podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on oneplace.com. Marijuana, self-realization, meditation, self-hypnosis, psychedelic drugs, yoga. Jeff Johnson tried all of that and more in his search for the clear light, but it wasn't until he met Jesus that his life truly changed, and he experienced life and light. In his book, The Seeker, you'll hear this amazing testimony. and I think you'll be left greatly encouraged and thankful. We're offering The Seeker right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call us at 800-353-7553. Sound Doctrine is listener-supported. Simply put, it takes a team to accomplish this goal of reaching people around the world with the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. Whether it's a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support, God is using it in great ways to impact people with His life-changing truth. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or again, call 800-353-7553. If you've been blessed as you've studied along with Pastor Jeff, please let us know. Email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Please mention the station that you listen to and tell us what the Lord is doing in your life. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Come back next time when we'll have another study in Matthew's Gospel for you here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So far.